Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for more war updates. We are following the war in Ukraine. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? People are asking for a Coach Red Pill update. Not much update, but Coach Red Pill has been pointed to as in the mainstream media as a man with a bizarre rant claiming that Zelensky is arming criminals. He was essentially laughed at by certain media outlets, but without proper debunking. It's like Coach Red Pill is on the ground. He can perceive things that you may not know if you're in an office in New York. And yet the journalists of America are calling him a bizarre renter. And so he says on his Telegram that he now identifies as a bizarre renter. But before claiming that someone is a bizarre renter, you should ask yourself, is it possible that what he says is true? Because there's plenty of evidence that there is oppression of civilians, that there is kind of gangster-type policing happening in Kiev, and that there is anti-Russian oppression happening in Kiev. When they say, well, we cut these saboteurs, we kill them instantly. It's like, how did you know? Eclipse, as people have already sent some super chats to Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Eclipse NF has said, hello, Papa. Great to see you on Odyssey. Here are some shekels. I will not read the rest of this message. Well, that's what he read. That's what he wrote. I will not read the rest of this message. He sends 10 bucks. Thank you so much. Sprocket says, my question was, how would you name your position on Ukraine invasion? Not describe it. I think opponents would call you pro-Putin, but I doubt you'd call yourself that. What would you call yourself? Well, you know, I don't like labels, so that's why I was kind of evasive on labeling myself. I don't like labels. I prefer properly stated positions. So when you ask your question, I said, my position is that the invasion is justified in light of the violation of the Minsk agreement by Ukraine. So my position is those agreements were violated and therefore the invasion is justified. Now, it's not the thing is, you're trying to funnel me down a pro-Putin label, but I'm not pro-Putin. I really don't care about Vladimir Putin. That being said, from a geopolitical standpoint, from outside the conflict, I experience certain positivity emerging from this. I mean, we've seen CNN celebrate, for example, the birth of white babies in Ukraine. And it's like, oh, look, they are born from two oppressed civilian Ukrainians in a bomb shelter. Two babies born tonight. And when's the last time CNN has celebrated the birth of a white person? When's the last time CNN has cared at all or has represented this as something to be happy about, without mentioning the string of white supremacist concerns and anti-racist concerns of the SJWs? So there's something healthy happening. Now, I'm not telling you that CNN has changed and, oh my God, they're on our side now. I'm just saying that that Vladimir Putin's action, which on his own terms is justified, has positive effects on society. And those are the positive effects that Richard Spencer was pointing to. It will kind of force people to feel on a team, to know what they stand for. And it kind of filters through the right also. You know, you can see there's a bunch of commentators on the right that have totally lost it. They react to this war in the same way they would react to a Middle Eastern random war between the Emirate Arabs and whatever. You know, the two countries that don't matter. They can't understand the significance of, as was framed by a black intellectual on the streets, white people fighting against each other. I mean, it is what's happening. White people fighting against each other. And that is extremely significant. It has massive meanings for the conception of the world going forward. So you're trying to funnel me down a label. I will not endorse a label. I'm laying out my views every night on this show very clearly. I don't need labels, therefore. And labels will always be exploited against you. You're going to adopt a label for a given reason, and they're going to stamp it on you and say, oh, he has admitted that he was a whatever. We have some information about the witch domain. To those trying to hex Putin, don't. Oh. So this is a witch who has a different position on hexing Putin. Look at the days he's invaded. 8th of the 8th month, 2008, and now 22nd of the second month of 2022. Also during the Pluto returns. If you think this man isn't heavily spiritually protected, you'd be sorely incorrect. Instead, please put your energy on not only protecting Ukraine, but ex-Soviet states. He knows enough about numerology and astrology. He's not the one to hex. It will 100% backfire on you, even through your protections. Instead of baneful energy, we should be putting positive protection energies. I was not aware of all this. I didn't hex. Lapitop says, "What is hex?" I guess it's some kind of magic, black magic being targeted at you. In the Dota game that I play, hex means being transformed into a frog. But I don't know what it means for the actual witch. Justin, UN General Assembly approves resolution demanding that Russia stop the war in Ukraine and withdraw all troops. Those are not super meaningful. They are very symbolic, but you can see that there aren't much countries siding with Ukraine, although siding with Russia, although there are a lot of abstentions. I can see China here, China, Algeria, Bangladesh, Bolivia, Burundi, and then there are the against, Belarus, North Korea, Eritrea, Russian Federation, and Syrian Arab, whatever. So notably, abstentions on this vote include Iraq, India, China. India and China are the big ones here, and they represent potentially the out that Russia has chosen, the out being to redirect their economy into China and India, being the big consumers of Russian exports. That is why these countries probably are standing neutrally in the conflict. Mama JF is on the chat. She says, I think that's why Styx is called Styx X something. Ah, Styx X and Hammer. So perhaps that is a reference to the capacity of Styx to be imposing black magic. How do they call them? Sortilege, whatever. They cast these spells onto people. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and super chats tonight. Although you can also use the Odyssey platform. They have a wonderful credit card USD option with the button support. You do have to be logged in, so make sure you create an account on Odyssey. On Entropy tonight, did you like the State of the Union address? That is my question to you. Yes, no, or didn't watch? I watched it and it was crap. It feels so disconnected to have this kind of well, first there was whole, of course, the whole pro-Ukrainian piece of it. I didn't think much of it. Just unconditional support for Ukraine, but there will be no help. There will be no soldiers. And on the other side, these kinds of talking point to say that the left is progressing in the US and that we will get this, and we will get this law and that, all things to expand social welfare essentially, and child checks and that kind of stuff. But the Democrats don't have the power to actually do it. Europa Aesthetica says, anyone else have Odyssey crash when they load the page of a future stream on mobile? I don't know. I know that the Odyssey people are working on a mobile app, but it is not up yet, so it's not available yet. But I think in the next week, in the next few weeks, we should get an app which would probably be more compatible, because I don't know to what extent they have prepared their their website to function on a mobile browser. Missile strikes brewery in eastern Ukraine. So those are the kind of targeting. One moment. Those are the kind of missile targeting that we've seen from the air from Russian forces. Importantly, the Russian forces are making progress, especially in capturing Kherson, which is an extremely I'm gonna drink a little bit of Diet Coke here. I had to clear my voice. Kherson, which is a critical part in southern Ukraine, which makes a land bridge crossing an important river, and having control of this town means for Russia that it will be much easier to have a path north from the south. We have seen a continuation of the photos of resistance. So here they have built some kind of bridge. Grim photos of civilian preparing to defend Kiev from a Russian assault. Civilians being armed. Molotov cocktails being prepared. Barricades being put together with anything they can find. Those are not trained soldiers. They are civilians, young civilians who will be very soon facing a professional army. I don't think they will fare extremely well. Look at these barricades. I can see this being exploded within a few minutes, and I don't think that they have much chance. And yet the Ukrainian information warfare is continuing and trying to present the Russian army as unprofessional, having logistic issues. But when you see them capture increasing portions of territory on the map, when you see them making advances and succeeding at these advances, and here taking a major city in Kherson, those are not incompetent people. They, you might have captured a few weak soldiers. You know, they show videos which I will not show, because apparently it's in violation of certain international laws on war. You cannot show videos of a captured soldier for the purpose of like kind of psychological warfare. But I've seen those videos, and they capture these Russian soldiers, and it turns out the Russian soldier says, I'm just a French teacher, or I'm just a mechanic. They put a gun in my hand, and they said, you're going there. I didn't know it was a war. They just told me to march forward, and I had no choice. Perhaps there is a part of the personnel being used that were not professional soldiers. But certainly, when you look at the takeover of Kherson and the air bombardments, there are certainly professional army men here at upper in the operation, and it's working. So, what is the state of progression of the war? Well, central Ukraine was spared a little more in terms of bombarding, because yesterday those were the areas being bombarded, the cities around Kiev. And now we see more progression on the Eastern Front with aerial bombardment here and here. You see a progression of the path, although it's not showing up in red on this map. We have other maps we look at. The path for tanks here is progressing. So very soon, Kiev will be surrounded by the northern convoy of tank, probably more convoys coming here, and also another path here. So we will have three paths to Kiev. And the circling of Kiev down this region is also increasingly efficient, although it is being combated against. So Kiev is about to have three streams of incoming Russian soldiers. But perhaps the most significant progress are the attacks on Mariupol that are essentially at this point closing the Lenin Bridge, although Mariupol itself may still be able to show some resistance. It would be a matter of extreme ease for Russia to just close the Lenin Bridge and potentially isolate Mariupol. We've also seen a lot of activity in the Black Sea, where there's been misinformation today. I believe it was a Romanian jet that fell. It crashed, and it was originally believed that it could be a missile. Of course, it makes sense since it was flying in the Odessa region. But later, there were corrections published, and it seems that it was due to the weather. So somehow, in the whole chaos of this war, the weather can still take down a jet. Maybe it was also a combination of the weather and nervousness in relation to the war, or perhaps we don't know the whole story. But it doesn't seem like it was shut down, as was originally believed. However, we've seen some smoke develop on a boat, and the boat then withdrew, and it's not clear whether it was even a Ukrainian or Russian boat, because there are boats that are commercial in nature and that bear the flag of an African nation, I don't remember which one it was, that seem to have been targeted, essentially cargo ship, yes, Silver Fox. And so originally it was believed on the social media that this was kind of an act of war or defense, but it may have been an accidental shooting of a cargo ship, and I don't know by which side. Someone was sending me this publication on a Russian TV or Russian sympathetic TV program that was from 2018, and it was already showing the plan essentially for Russia. So it's been a while so this is Ukraine right here, and it's divided here in a part that's blue and in a part that's yellow. And on this Russian TV program, they were discussing the possibility of Ukraine being taken over, split right here, and be left with only this part that would join Poland. So this shows probably what the ambition of Putin is, since it was discussed already in 2018. They would have thought, okay, the Ukrainians will have this portion and will join Poland, and Russia would control this entire portion. Now, that's a very bold portion, because Odessa is here. This is the seat of aerial war and fleet warships wars. Kiev is here. So it seems that the Russian ambition is much larger than just stopping at the Dnieper River, and it goes much beyond. And the only part of Western Ukraine that would be left on this graphic is extremely small. Looks like it's split in three. Well, it's split in three, and Russia would have two-thirds. We also have a leak from government planning of the invasion on the side of Russia. And it appears that, I don't know, I don't understand Russian, but this looks like a planned siege of Kiev, where you would have a kind of installation northwest of Kiev, which is what we've been seeing, and the convoy is arriving to this place. You would have the paths developed on the northeastern front, which we're increasingly seeing. I would say they are pretty much here. And then this seems like it could illustrate some bombardment through air. And it's what has been happening from the southern and the southwestern regions. So I don't know if I'm interpreting this correctly, but it looks like a premeditated plan for the siege of Kyiv. Man goes on bizarre rant, claims evil Ukraine President Zelensky handed out weapons to criminals. This is what I was talking about. Coach Red Pill is here, and look at this professional Russian news people, and they're looking at Coach Red Pill. It's amazing. And then you have the mainstream media, well, mainstream media, the Free Press Journal, covering this and saying man goes on bizarre rant. This is so hilarious that our friend CRP is at the center of national Russian TV attention, which itself is being covered as ridiculous by more mainstream American, pro-American outlets. It's amazing. By the way, tonight is a double program. I forgot to mention. I will be on Koto Gottfried. He wanted to speak to me about the Russian-Ukraine conflict. So we'll be talking to Koto tonight. It's going to be fun at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I would like to address a critique that is being made because I like to address my critiques. Some people are really taking it emotionally, my position on this whole war. And to be clear, when I say the Minsk agreements were violated, I'm not saying there weren't other violations before by the other side, by Russia. It's important to understand what I mean. People come to me and they say, but JF, you don't mention this other agreement, which, whoa. I never said Ukraine wouldn't be also justified to attack Russia because they have violated some other agreement. Maybe they did. But it's important when you approach me that you and you want to criticize me, it's important that you represent my beliefs properly. The first thing I would suggest to these people criticizing me in the comment section is start by representing my view. What did I say? What is my belief as it is stated? Because it seems that they can't even do this. For example, this guy says, according to JF's pseudo-logic, so this was a commentary on my earlier statement that, statement from yesterday, that it is Zelensky's fault if civilians are suffering from this war, because Putin had totally given the option of a war mostly aimed at military infrastructure, a war where civilians could have fled. But Zelensky has decided to arm the civilians, and so making them essentially soldiers, and also to lead urban warfare with Molotov cocktails and resistance strategies that essentially use civilian infrastructure as shields. So that was my comment yesterday. Now this guy says, according to JF's pseudo-logic, if I came to his house and demanded that I fight him in his garden, and he did not come out, so I started throwing stones at his windows, destroying his house equipment, it would be his fault, because it was he who, not wanting to leave his house, chose it as a place for a fight. JF have become just another warmonger. First, this is an improper metaphor. There is two questions here, as I say in my reply. There's the question of whether Russia was justified in making a war. And their justification is the breach of the Minsk Agreement. I think that the Minsk agreements were indeed not respected by Ukraine. So that's one thing. The second question is where the fight happens. Now, when I say that it's Zelensky's fault that the civilians are suffering, we have to leave aside the first question, the question of the legitimacy of the war. And we have to enter into a second question, which is, if a war is to happen, where will it happen? And Putin has given all the chances for this war to be a military versus military war. He has only stricken civilian structures to the extent that Zelensky has decided to populate these civilian structures with armed resistance. So that is it. When I make this argument, I'm not going back to the justification of war and whether the war is justified. I'm talking exclusively about the civilian suffering and whether it falls on the shoulders of Putin. I don't think it does. That's all I'm saying. So for the metaphor to be appropriate, you would have to say that someone was entitled to have a fight with me, that he had a justification for doing so, and that then he gave me a choice. JF, either you get out of your house and we fight and we resolve our difference, or you stay in your house and I'm going to come and fight you in your house. Now, in this metaphor, if the guy went into my house and in the process carried away Mama JF, let's say that he would put Mama JF in a state of nervousness, then I could say, yes, you know, it's kind of my fault that Mama JF is in a state of nervousness as she sees me being beaten, because he gave me the choice to have a mano at mano outside fight where Mama JF could have stayed protected. But I refuse that choice. So you have to be careful not to mix the two questions. One, whether the attack is legitimate. Two, where the attack will happen if an attack is legitimate in the first place. And then he keeps going. He says, Russia violated the Budapest Memorandum. Why do you pretend that it's never happened? That's another straw man. Did I ever say that the Budapest Memorandum was not violated by Russia? No, but that's a different question. If Russia violated the Budapest Memorandum, then you could have Ukraine saying we're going to attack Russia. And my position tonight on the show would be Ukraine's invasion of Russia is justified because they have violated the Budapest Memorandum. Now, as it turns out, the Budapest Memorandum was a deal in which certain countries, including Ukraine, would give up their nuclear weapons. And they would give up these nuclear weapons mostly to Russia, and or some being dismantled, I believe. And in exchange, Russia would commit not to invade these countries, not to have military hostilities against them. The position of Russia on this question of the Budapest Memorandum is that they have signed this agreement with a legitimate Ukraine government, but that since then, the legitimate Ukraine government was overturned by a violent revolution, which, by the way, included snipers in downtown areas. Ukraine has been taken over by a revolutionary force, let us not forget, in 2014. And the position of Russia is, when we sign a treaty with a country, if a revolutionary force takes over that country, we're not committed to respecting the treaty against the violent revolutionary force. We are only committed to the old administration. So I think it's a reasonable position. You can disagree, you can think otherwise, but I think it makes sense. Like, What if the US had a peace deal with Justin Trudeau from Canada, but suddenly you have a bunch of Chinese army men who take over Canada, they come in trucks in Ottawa, and they just overturn the parliament, and they install a dictatorship in Canada. Would you say that the United States is still bound by a peace treaty to the revolutionary Chinese force? I don't think so. Personally, I think it makes no sense. When a revolutionary force takes over a city by violence and takes over an entire country through violence, I don't think that any of the treaties that were previously signed hold. Ukraine war map. This is an update from today on the situation, the progress of the Russian forces. See, this is extremely important progress because you have a channel that is developing from the east in the north that is truly attaining Kiev. And then you have the convoy that is more or less stalled, but that is combating forces here to encircle Kiev on the west. And you can see right there, you can see just in this development that the earlier things I've referenced, the leaked document, it's exactly this. Look, they are forming a arc of a circle here. That's the northwest. And they have a path here from the northeast. Well, look at the current progression. They are forming the circle right here, northwest, and they have a path northeast. So they are playing out exactly what was devised as the plan for the siege of Kiev. You also have another route developing here. As far as this progression here, the most important is the complete overtake of Kherson. And they have announced to the local administrators of the city that they will install a military form of government for the local city. So here the forces have abandoned, and those soldiers who have survived on the Ukrainian side ran away and regrouped in Mykolaiv. Now, will they be able to start a true resistance in Mykolaiv, or did they give everything they had and perhaps they won't be able to defend Mykolaiv? That remains to be determined, but that is a very important progression. There's also been the takeover of nuclear plants. I don't know what's the status of progress, but there were basically just civilians trying to block a road to these nuclear power plants, one of which is the biggest in Europe, apparently, the most productive in terms of electricity in Europe. So the civilians have been dispersed. I don't know to which extent. It seems to me that non-lethal weapons have been used against them because they were just trying to use their body to stop the progression of the tanks, but they were unarmed. Perhaps some deadly weapons have been used, but as far as I can see from the video, it looks like dispersal tools, like explosives that just generate flashes. But I didn't see any injury from the video. Remains to be determined. Meanwhile, Kharkiv is getting fully pounded through airstrikes and missiles. Footage showing the destruction this morning. Look, Kharkiv is about to be leveled into a parking lot. Everything being destroyed, of course. This is a result of a lot of resistance being deployed into this town, one of the biggest point of resistance that the Russian army has met yet. Grapes Koda says, that's certainly the saddest part. However, it's an old tale that most don't seem to ever learn. Someone was saying, sick that they're fighting for globalist pissing fights and not their own people or countries. Yeah, that is the great tension in war. This whole fact that alone, a small entity is unable to gather the forces sufficient to win a war. And so therefore, the big entities are those crushing others in war. And there's always a tension between the national identity of a small country and its appeal to a larger federation to have some backing power in terms of soldiers and forces. Those are other images of Kharkiv, lots of buildings on fire, lots of buildings being shot by missile. We have seen destroyed Russian equipment in some places. The convoys of Russian tanks are getting targeted and burnt. We can see the damage here. We can see a whole convoy with tanks of what seems to be tanks of fuel and the mechanized vehicles, all of them burnt and attacked by the forces of defense of Ukraine. There was a message today by the special forces of the Ukrainian army that they will not make prisoners of wars anymore. So when you take someone as a prisoner of war, you inherit from all sorts of obligations under various international agreements. You have to feed them, you have to give them water, you have to treat them properly. And so and as part of a kind of intimidation campaign against anyone who would be part of the Russian invasion, they have said, we will just kill people at this point. We will kill artillerymen instead of making them prisoner of war, because they have been bombarding civilians and civil infrastructure. Some people have been complaining that because some part of this message was saying, we will slaughter you like pigs. And some people have been rightfully pointing to the fact that just this message in and of itself could be a violation of the international rules, Convention of Geneva, and that kind of thing. But in any case, I mean, this is war. People shoot each other. Russian troops spotted in Balaklaya, southeast of Kharkiv. So that's also a part of the progression of the East Front. It doesn't make much noise, but these tanks are being seen deeper and deeper into Ukraine. So there may not be fighting, but the fronts are progressing, and we are seeing them more and more in Western positions on the map. Adi says, Western sanctions so far are fucking nuts. Russia is ages behind in tech. China is no friend of Russia, and they will surely exploit this weakness. It was a major mistake to invade Ukraine. Russia is going to look like Iran pretty soon. I'm not so sure about this. I think that one part of your reading is correct. China will definitely benefit from this. China will be the deal maker that the US doesn't want to be anymore. And China will be offering services, yes, in technological support. Essentially, China will use this to springboard itself even further into being the manufacturer of the world. They will benefit from Russian raw materials and resources, including fuel, and they will produce stuff for the world, including Russia. China is probably in the best position in the entire world right now. It is playing exactly the right game. It's as if all of this, although all performed by actors outside of China, all of this serves the Chinese interest extremely well. The main police headquarter in Kharkiv has been bombarded. So this is video from the fire on top of the police department. You can see all the windows are all destroyed. This thing is done. Increasingly, there are buildings of civilians' infrastructure that are getting affected, but that doesn't mean that they are getting targeted intentionally. You know, it could be that they are increasingly used as siege infrastructure as the infantry advances in these towns, and there's more and more places that are not available for the resistance on the Ukrainian side, and so they use these buildings and they end up getting targeted. There was misinformation today about an attack close to the Kyiv railway station, and people were alarmed. Oh my God, there are civilians escaping Kyiv right now. You are bombarding their station. In the whole process of this strike, which turned out not to be a strike, but in the whole process, there was the breach, the breaking of an important pipe that conducts heating water. So it conducts hot water for the purpose of heating. And this is a dimension of the conflict that will start to matter a lot, especially as we enter a massive snowstorm starting tonight or tomorrow. And for the next 2 days, there will be the most amount of snow that there ever was in this war. We are expecting 6 to 9 inch of snow covering across Ukraine. And this is an amount of snow that was not seen yet in this conflict, so it will have important consequences, especially if certain infrastructure like heating gets targeted or gets accidentally destroyed. Now, as it turns out, it wasn't an intentional strike that destroyed this pipe close to the Kyiv railway station. So it wasn't civilians being targeted by the Russians. What happened is that there was a missile headed to a military position. This missile was exploded by the Ukrainian anti-air defense. And as it fell, some pieces of this missile apparently fell and exploded on the ground. Or perhaps the anti-air defense exploded. Some piece of it exploded. And so it looked like a strike close to the railway station, but it was really a defensive action that was trying to neutralize a major missile being headed toward the military positions of Kyiv. So here we have video that is not super clear, but that shows presumably the event.
Це теплотраса возле ЖД, вокзала.
You can see some smoke. It's they know that something has happened here, but it's not super clear from the video what it is. Lapitop says, are they going to freeze to death? Better have timber to burn. Well, that's where the siege will play an important that's where cold will play a role in the siege. If you have your fuel tanks that are getting targeted, if you have your water heating infrastructure that eventually becomes dysfunctional, there is some point at which it will extremely matter. The cold itself will be enough to demoralize the troop to make them completely incapable of fighting. So that's why a siege approach is totally appropriate in these circumstances. The moment of the rocket strike, so they call it a rocket strike here, but again, we now know that this was a broken piece of missile from a defensive action. You can see the explosion happening in this area here. So this is what has broken the water heating system close to the Kyiv railway station. A missile has hit in Chevchenko in a tools-making plant. We can see a big illumination here. Some plants, the production facilities of Ukraine are getting targeted. To show you the position here, it's right here. So this is a progression of the eastern bombardment. So the east is getting neutralized in terms of its capacity to defend and its capacity of production to manufacture or repair existing stuff. Kharkiv bombarded. We have seen the damage in the morning, but those were the bombardments we could see during the night. Heavily targeted through air, through potentially ground forces also, just shelling the area. Ukraine Interior Minister Advisor. So this was the confirmation that the Ukraine Interior Ministry Advisor says the explosion near Kyiv station was caused by wreckage from downed Russian cruise missile, not a direct strike. Those are more images. I believe this is from Irpin, which is a region around Kyiv. Enormous amounts of buildings getting exploded. Of course, at this point, hopefully the civilians have fled, but some of them appear to still be there. It's definitely not a safe place to be if you cannot be isolated from the big centers where the fights do happen. It's not a safe place to stay. So Russia claims, so this is the scene in which the Russian forces are advancing toward the nuclear plant, and they are advancing, and there's a bunch of civilians who are, and this is written as Kyiv, Ukraine, but there are many other sources that are claiming that this is happening in the south, rather, and that this is the forces advancing toward a nuclear plant that is far from Kyiv. This is not Kyiv, as far as I can tell, but the civilians are blocking, so you'll see. So there are some warning shots being shot here. The civilians are staying onto the road. See, this kind of explosion looks to me like they are non-lethal explosive designed to disperse crowds. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure, but this is definitely not a grenade exploding, all right? So I think that they have used the softer strategy possible, given that it was an unarmed resistance. But you know, you are in a place of war, and unarmed resistance, it is not the right time for this. Blacksmith Waffen says, "I love JF's comfy war footage commentary." Well, I'm trying to do my best. If you like this, join our Subscribestar or Patreon if you would like to support the show. I work very hard to report accurately on the current situation in Ukraine. Hillary Clinton is disappointed. Crypto exchanges won't block Russians due to philosophy of libertarianism or whatever. Oh my God. Yes, Hillary. It is not so much a philosophy of libertarianism. What the crypto world has been created so that you couldn't put your dirty hands into our dealings. They have made it impossible to stop the flow of capital, of legitimate property from one wallet to the other. Every step of it has been made specifically so that someone like you couldn't decide that someone doesn't have property anymore. So take it up your ass. Crypto has been designed as the anti-Hillary Clinton. I'm happy that we did this. Borodyanka, the Kyiv region. So areas around Kyiv with big buildings completely burned. But you know, when you have a Ukrainian army bragging that they have snipers in residential buildings, then don't be surprised if your residential buildings get blown off. Meanwhile, there is some defensive measures being taken by the Ukrainians. And here you can see a Russian Jeep or whatever, a war vehicle of some kind on the Eastern Front. A Typhoon 4x4 vehicle shot and destroyed. What else do we have? A Russian missile hit. So I was saying earlier that there was a boat that was hit with smoke, and it was thought that this was either the action of Ukrainian against Russian or Russian against Ukrainians. But it turned out to be a Bangladesh-flagged bulk carrier. I don't know why he got caught into the conflict. Was it an accident? Was it soldiers having the impression that it was a boat from the other country? And I don't even know which side shot this Bangladesh carrier. But you can see here the fire taking. And I believe that at least one death has been reported. DK Shadow says the fog of war is deadly. Indeed, it is. it's important for the people who are in Ukraine for other reasons. Understand that you will not get due process. You will not even know who shot you. When you are in a zone of war, either you take the risk of your life by staying there, or you run away and you get out as quickly as possible. Blue Jay Jason sends $25 to Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. People like you who are sending this support every month are what keeps this show alive. Thank you so much. And I'm honored to be working as your modest newsman for the 220 people who are live right now. It is quite a pleasure. Carnival says, Jeff, it breaks my heart to hear you say this. I don't care about Zelensky. I care about the Ukrainian woman that may be raped by non-European soldiers Putin sent into Ukraine. His Eurasian empire is bad. You are buying into the meme of the ever abused woman. A meme which contributes to the expansion of the Western American empire from inside its own borders to outside its own borders, from family courts oppression of fathers to anti-Russian sentiment in this war. And I suggest that you have the wrong moral priors here. You are imagining rapes that haven't happened yet and that may never happen. What is the rate of rape? What is the rate of rape in Russia? And if Ukraine was to be taken over by Russia, do you think that there would be an increased amount of Ukrainian women being raped? I have no evidence that this is the case. So you are working on Schrödinger fictitious rapes, which is the worst path you can take, especially in this world where feminism and precisely these fake rapes, these allegations of potential future danger, are used to oppress us on an everyday basis. And by us, I mean males, I mean fathers. The behavior of the Russian army up to now has been absolutely legitimate. They haven't looked like thugs who were hurting people for fun. They are leading a war. They are leading a war and combating the enemy, their perceived enemy, which is the Ukrainian military forces or the resistance. There is no evidence that they are using the opportunity to rape Ukrainian women. So don't you get me started on this. Secondly, there are some countries, and I believe Ukraine is definitely falls into this category. There are some countries who self-manage will impose on themselves more corruption than a takeover by a foreign force. I believe that this current situation looks like it pretty much. I mean, I can imagine Ukraine, the level of corruption that exists today. Corruption may actually lower in Ukraine after a full takeover by the Russian Empire. I'm not telling you this is a guarantee, and I'm not sure, but the simple fact that we can conceive of this possibility should give you a pause. Let's not forget that Ukraine has taken over political power against a duly elected president with snipers intimidating people and shooting randomly in downtown areas, downtown residential areas. You're not going to make me drop crocodile tears on future potential rapes that haven't existed and for which there is no evidence, when the actual harm that we've seen has been from a hostile takeover of this country by, honestly, let's call them the way Putin calls them, neo-Nazis. They are neo-Nazis. And again, nothing against the peaceful neo-Nazis out there. It's not I'm not trying to persecute you or whatever, but these people who took over Ukraine are violent revolutionaries. Violent revolutionaries that want to turn Ukraine in exactly this kind of feminist Western place. Not that the current Ukraine is very progressive, but it's the inevitable conclusion that in 30 years down the line, you'll have the level of leftism that you have today in California, in Ukraine. And they've done it with arms, they've done it with force, they've done it at times by using neo-Nazis and kind of small insurgency groups that certainly do not qualify as SJWs or leftists, but somehow were recruited and playing the role of the extension for the globalist empire. So fuck your argument, because it's based on essentially the same kind of oppression that is done to fathers in our countries. It is now being applied to Russians. And I think there is a silver lining in this whole conflict. It is the fact that we are realizing just how much the left is willing to rotate from an anti-white position to an anti-Russian position. And that ultimately these two things go hand in hand. And so much so that they are melding together in this conflict. Like, just what I mentioned at the beginning of the show. CNN has been celebrating the birth of white babies in Ukraine. The leftist media is talking about the potential of welcoming white refugees in Western nations. So you realize that the anti-white position that has been a signature of the left for the last decades is really more complex than what you would have thought before, because it shows here in a white versus white conflict, and they are able to take it and rotate it onto the Russian. And that's because there are more dimensions to this anti-whiteism of the left than just anti-whiteism. It's anti-traditionalism, it's anti-authority, it's anti-transmission of a line of knowledge and culture through the father. And it stamps extremely well onto Putin. But it's interesting that you come at me with this argument, because I wanted to talk about this melding that's happening right now. The left is about to rotate massively, and it's already done it. It has rotated from an anti-white Western position to an anti-Russian imperialistic position. Stephen Robinson says, "Jeff, did you see reports that Poland is taking refugees from Ukraine, only not the blacks?" Yes, I've talked about it yesterday. This is further evidence that some sort of Nazism is happening right now on the Ukrainian side. Stephen Robinson says, "Jeff, why do none of these buildings hit with rockets not fall like the World Trade Center towers?" Well, when you look at these strikes, first, you have to understand that a missile strike is extremely different from the mechanical strike that it is to have the weight of a plane coming with a given speed, with energy stuck in the speed, and all of this crashing deep into the building, versus a missile just striking and burning, essentially. Let's not forget that these missiles, first, they contain much less energy than what you would get deployed by the fuel of a plane. The fuel of a plane on top of the kinetic energy of the speed of the plane, that is so much more. When you look at this, definitely it is not structural. I mean, they had some buildings fall. You can see a section of this building fell. So it's possible to have fall, but you won't have necessarily the whole building fall, because these buildings rely on pillars. And the only question about whether a floor will sustain or not sustain is the question of whether the pillars for support are intact or have been damaged. But most of these missiles, they have a burning and shockwave action, but not enough to chop an entire structural steel pillar. So that's why. Go Wei says, is now perhaps a good time for a fork in the BTC chain. I support crypto, but I don't want to support a system that is used to circumnavigate wartime sanctions on the enemy. Could we fork the chain and have a chain of BTC that excludes Russians? Would you support this, even if you didn't want to use it? But for those of us that want to support the sanctions on Russia, go away. Sometimes you're more subtle in your trolling. This one is so obvious. It's like, try to be a little more subtle. Try to get me into a possible belief that you're not trolling. Because here you're trolling for sure. No, I would not support this. Anyone who would start this would ridiculously crash. I mean, it's like you'd have the whole Bitcoin crew on Twitter who would otherwise favor Ukraine. They would suddenly take the side of Russia. They would say, no, we do not start to exclude people from the BTC blockchain. Justet says, a well-defended defense of the rape narrative by JF for the real narrative behind the scenes, it ought to be clipped and posted. Yes, I'm open to people clipping the show, although I don't have much time to do this. RT and Sputnik's Twitter accounts have been suspended in the EU. So if you're in the European Union, now the European Union has the capacity to selectively block Twitter accounts. Apparently, the same accounts are available outside the EU. It's time we leave these platforms and we adopt platforms like Odyssey, where the banning is really hard. It's really hard to ban, and they can hide you in principle if they're forced by the law, but you'll still be on the library blockchain. And so it's time we develop resilient stuff. Twitter is a slave to these organizations of control like the European Union. Downed Russian Su-25SM fighter jet in the Kyiv region. I don't know. I don't know how to read these things and definitely establish that this was a Russian jet. It's possible. Russian war, according to witnesses, a bridge was blown up in Baryshevka on the outskirts of Kyiv. So, you know, if you want the whole Ukrainian narrative is that, oh, the convoy is stalled, they have infrastructure problems, then why are you blowing bridges to try to slow them down? If you thought that the convoy will never reach Kyiv, you wouldn't be there blowing bridges. This looks like a city trying to slow down the progress of an army that is efficiently advancing. Here's the video. Boom. So, exploded bridge, but by the Ukrainian side, with the hope of slowing the progression of the Russian army. A war within a war. Transgender woman says transphobia and discriminatory laws keeping her hostage in Kyiv during the Russian invasion. Zee Famelu was born and raised in Crimea, an area of Ukraine that was invaded and taken over by Russia in 2014. Now the 31-year-old lives in Kyiv, the capital city that has been under Russian siege for nearly a week. She is running out of food and hasn't left her house for days as gunfire erupts outside, and she says she can't leave. Famelu, who is transgender, said that transphobia is pervasive in the city and neighboring countries, and fears that if she leaves, the tension of the ongoing conflict will make her more susceptible to violence. Family was previously a popular contestant on the Ukrainian singing competition show Star Factory. Wow, from transgender singer in a popular contestant show to stuck in a city under siege. But this is further evidence that there is the Ukrainian population that the left is currently siding with is not, if they were directing America, if they were like the dominant force in America, there would be a lot of things that would end up being grounds for discrimination. It's like leftists, you don't know who you're teaming with right now. You're teaming with the people you would have called neo-Nazis a week ago. That's who you're teaming with. And now Putin has kind of cut the grass under your feet because he called them neo-Nazis before you could. And now you don't know what to do, right? A downed helicopter, or so it seems, an helicopter underground, probably neutralized. I don't know exactly the area where this was. This one was photographed. Russian ballistic missile striking the Chevchenko factory in Kharkiv. Kharkiv is getting bombarded so intensely. I mean, it's all night we have videos like this. Those are massive explosions seen from far, and we hear maybe a jet or something that may have dropped this bomb. So the production capacities are being totally crunched by the Russian army. what else do we have? According to the information received, Indian students were taken hostage by Ukrainian security forces for using them as human shields and preventing them from reaching Russia. The responsibility of this lies entirely with the Kyiv authorities, the Russian embassy in India tweeted. So there was a discussion between Vladimir Putin and the president of India. And Vladimir Putin doesn't want any civilian to be stuck in Kyiv being shot, but it's the Kyiv authorities that are keeping all these people, including Indian foreigners. And they're keeping them because they know that it's their only bargaining chip. They want their civilians and foreigners, if possible, to get shot by missiles. It's the only way they'll be able to say to the international community, you have to come help us. This is what happens when your president is an actor. He's setting the whole thing as a theater to pull strings of the international community. But we're seeing through the bullshit, and I believe that the president of India is seeing through the bullshit because he spoke to Vladimir Putin, asked for the evacuation of Indian people, and Vladimir Putin doesn't want to torture Indians in Ukraine. Powerful explosion near a power plant. That is the same. I believe it's the same explosion that we've just seen, but we can see maybe it's a different take. Yeah, so here we see more the moment of the explosion. So a big flash in the sky. Moscow today has recognized for the first time the death toll of the operation. They say on their side that there are 498 Russian troops killed in Ukraine. This is a count that is represented as 7,000 or 8,000 by the Ukrainian authorities. So the disbalance between these two numbers could boil down to exaggeration. I for one suspect that a lot of the people that are killed by the Ukrainian authorities are not Russian soldiers. I believe that they are killing people among themselves. They are killing ethnic Russians within their civilian population, and they're saying, oh, they were saboteurs. So that could explain the disproportion between the 500 that Russia says are dead and the 7,000 to 8,000 that the Ukrainian claim they have killed. It's like we're getting the count of your genocide, Ukraine. We're getting the count of the people you're killing that are not genuinely Russian soldiers. Breaking, or maybe the truth is in the middle and both sides are just fudging the number. Ulysses sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, still can't believe that Ramzan Karidov watches CRP videos. We live in crazy times. Oh, yes. And it's so amazing that we have these friendships with people like Coach Red Pill. And that, you know, he's now the center of the attention of the world. And he came to the show and I can still speak to him. And I know he would be there for me anytime if I needed him. It's amazing that we've developed these friendships as part of the early YouTubers. And that this friendship will extend forever as long as we're alive, as far as I can see. Now, I was seeing earlier in the comment section before the show began, someone was saying that Coach Red Pill didn't have a reason to be in Ukraine. It's weird how he was there at the right time. To be clear, I've been knowing Coach Red Pill for many years now. He was regularly in Ukraine. This was one of his places, and I believe it's a place he had decided to settle. He had a family there. He has a family there with a woman. I don't know what's the status with the woman, but there's a woman and there's children, and Coach has been constantly in Ukraine very often. There's nothing surprising about him being in Ukraine. I believe that it was relatively rare for him to go to Kiev. He found himself in Kiev for doing business, as he did relatively regularly, but not often. So that's why that's why he was in Ukraine. It's because he lives there, basically. He has a family living there. Justet says, CRP has lived in Ukraine since 2013. Yeah, I knew it had been many years. I didn't know exactly the date, but it's not surprising, and it's not a conspiracy. Twigs Quadrum says, JF, in relation to Philip Fabry theory, would Russia not be the progenitor of the Scythian Huns, Turkic and Mongol civilizations rather than civilizations B, the Greeks? Would that not be the EU? In Philip Fabry's theory, Russia occupies the place that Carthage and Macedonia occupied, and therefore it is a foreign power that is simply clashing with the powers of the empire. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, it was Carthage and Macedonia facing the Roman Empire, and today it is Russia facing the American Empire. Which in Philip Fabry's theory includes NATO, essentially the whole of Europe being seen as a vassal of American military interest. I'm not sure what you mean by the progenitor of the Scythian, Turkic, and Mongol civilization. I'm not sure what you mean by this. Russia is not attributed a status of civilization A or B. I think he labels them as civilization D. I'm not sure. I would have to check. I think that the civilization C are the Jews. But in any case, it represents the hostile power against which the military empire faces. Then civilization be the Greeks, would that not be the EU? The Greeks from the last cycle of civilization, that is the Greeks as opposed to the Roman Empire, they entertain the same relationship as Europe does to America. So the Greeks have contributed to the rise of the Roman Empire and eventually got submitted as vassals of the Roman Empire. Europe has contributed to the birth of the American Empire, and Europe eventually got subordinated as vassal to the American military interest. That is how to see the rotation between the two cycles of civilization. In this context, Russia plays only the role of the external force, the foreign empire that must be defeated for the cycle to complete. and Macedonia and Carthage were beaten by the Roman Empire, and he would predict that the American Empire would eventually destroy Russia and completely control it, which would allow the next civilization A to rise, which would be Asia. All right. So I talked about this. A Romanian jet disappeared off the radar almost an hour ago while patrolling near the coast of the Black Sea. Romania is a NATO member, but again, it seems that it is now established that this was true because of weather issues. On the way, Real Sprocket sent me a video of Elon Musk I was not aware of. He says, based, he must have been watching Nick Fuentes. No, I would say based on what he says, he sounds much more like me than Nick Fuentes. Look at what he says on non-reproductive sex.
Then a great deal of a massive amount of thinking, like truly stupendous amount of thinking, has gone into sex without purpose, without procreation.
He's talking about porn.
Which
Yeah.
is actually quite a silly action in the absence of procreation. It's a bit silly. So why are you doing it?
Well, it's low cost because your brain is already there, so why not? And secondly, it's not necessarily pointless to be preparing for reproduction, to be fantasizing. Perhaps it helps perform better once you do the actual act.
Because it makes the Olympic system happy, that's why.
That's why.
But it's pretty absurd, really.
Well, the whole of existence is pretty absurd in some kind of sense.
Yeah. But
That
I mean, this is a lot of computation has gone into how can I do more of that with procreation not even being a factor?
Well, it's a factor when you consider that fictive thinking about future potential actions can help you perform better in these future potential actions. European Central Bank president urges speedy approval of new broad crypto regulation. So, of course, people are saying, oh no, the Russians will escape our sanctions. So we need to legislate against Bitcoin now. Of course, it's probably going to be used as some kind of an excuse. I'm not super worried because I think that if they make some degree of legislation, there will always be a crypto that is more anonymous than this. And ultimately, if all of the current cryptos would be impaired by these legislation, we would eventually develop a new crypto with even more anonymous power. Eventually, it would be like your wallet doesn't even have a stable number. It's like it keeps changing. Go away, says JFG tonight. Is Elon Musk laying the groundwork for his shift to a manosphere grifter? I don't know. Maybe that's the next move, the next big move. Mama JF says, "Whoa, JF, don't do too much thinking now." Oh well, yes, I was thinking about sex. That is very meta. Stephen Robinson says, "Hey, JF, this was one of Biden's best moments yesterday." Yes, so the State of the Union was not super interesting to me. People were pointing. I mean, Biden has a lot of articulation problems. He was missing a lot of words. A lot of sentences didn't make sense. Probably the top one that is often quoted today is Putin can encircle Kyiv, but he cannot win the hearts of the Iranians. And I'm so tired because this man is clearly, he doesn't have his full speech capabilities. And I'm not going to cover this because at this point it's like elder abuse by the media. And you really have nothing to say when you make your shows about, And I see this across the center, right? The Daily Wire people. It's like, can you believe that he said Iranians? But the one point that is made that is true, if Trump had said this, there would be... If Trump had said this, they would be like, oh, I can't believe that Trump doesn't understand Ukraine is different from Iran. And that's true. That's true. You can't build a wall high enough to keep out a vaccine. Oh, my God. There were big moments. There were moments where we didn't understand what he was saying, where I was trying to conceive of what he's saying, and there were other moments where he was saying the wrong words. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you see that Ukraine is offering a massive airdrop of crypto to all its citizens? Yes, I've seen this. And the joke on Twitter was, okay, so Ukraine has decided to rebrand from being a country torn by war to being a shitcoin. And that's literally what's happening. There's a fucking Ukraine shitcoin. And I believe that you can get some airdrop, but you have to abandon your ETH and BTC. It's to reward those people who give donations to them. So you're going to pay in BTC, you're going to be rewarded in Ukraine shitcoin 2022. It's ridiculous. That being said, it's been making my brain work today because I was like, oh, you know, it's true that when there's a war, there may be crypto interest at play that we could exploit. I've been thinking about something. What if there was a coin where there's two sides to the coin? Basically, you can take the side Russia or you can take the side Ukraine. And I'm not saying it would be specifically about the Ukraine war, but this coin could offer essentially betting capacities that are fully decentralized. So at the beginning, it would go like this. People would be buying the Russian side of the coin or the Ukraine side of the coin. And there would be some criteria by which we say, okay, we will declare Russia the victor if this happens, or if media confirms this and this and this, and if this territory has been conquered or not. And there would be transfers. Essentially, the decentralized system would, if you're a loser, they would take the coins of the loser and they would transfer it to the winners. I don't know what form it could take, but and you know, it would keep the funds, and at the end you'd be rewarded not in the Russian coin or the Ukraine coin, because of course these things would have zero value at the end. But you'd be rewarded in the initial deposit that was made in BTC or in ETH or whatever. And as the events develop, there might be more likelihood. Like, someone may have bought a Russian coin at the beginning, but then it looks like Russia is in trouble. I would like to sell some of my Russian coins, and perhaps he could sell them at lower value before fully losing his funds. DK Shadow says, we already have predicted.org. Yes, but it's a centralized entity. I was thinking about the equivalent of this, but a decentralized version of it. Go away says, stop trying to profit off war, JF. Leave that to the experts. Yes, I guess the best way to profit off war is to be a weapons provider to the US. I guess I'm just being a noob here. I'm an amateur compared to these guys. Stephen Robinson's, but no, I was thinking about this from even a larger perspective. All of the news, you know, there could be lots of questions. Who will win the presidential election? That kind of stuff. It would be nice to have a decentralized thing that is operated completely independently of central power. Stephen Robinson says, hey, Jeff, this was one. Okay, this one I read. It was the Biden moment. Rodilacid says, hey, Jeff, did you see this video of a Ukrainian woman, expat in France on LCL, a French talk show, and she says it's not so black and white, and even talks about four journalists Zelensky had eliminated. Yes, I saw the video. It's in French, so I won't play it, but I saw it. And it's an interesting video because she's on mainstream media in France, and she's saying, you know, I'm a Ukrainian woman, but it's not black and white, this conflict. It's not all Ukraine. Ukraine is a bad regime, and Zelensky kills journalists, you know? And somehow I'm kind of welcome. And then the hosts are like, well, this is scandalous. Are you kind of saying that you welcome Putin to liberate Ukraine? And she's like, yeah, kind of. She says that in French, and it's like, oh my God, you thought you had the little old Ukraine blonde woman who was all weak, and you thought she would be the victim in your show, but it didn't work because she's like, oh, you know, Putin coming may have some good aspects to it. And the panelists on this show, they start justifying Ukraine. They're like, well, journalists dying, you know, journalists are dying all the time. they start naming other countries, and they're like, journalists have been killed in these other countries too, and Putin didn't invade these countries. And it's like, is that your argument? Is that the best you can do? They totally got owned by this random Ukrainian woman who lives in France. It was beautiful to see. It was absolutely hilarious. Moderna CEO admits it's possible that the vaccine maker patented DNA 3 years before the pandemic could match genetic in the COVID-19 virus. So we had, I had covered this, that there is a massive finding that no one is talking about. But Moderna they had identified a sequence, and they had patented the genetic sequence they had created. And it turned out this sequence is in COVID. And there's no explanation to it. They had patented it for other purposes, for fighting cancer. But they had patented it in a way that perhaps it could have found itself eventually in the COVID that infects people through respiratory means. Perhaps they played in the lab, they inserted this sequence in a coronavirus, and boom, the coronavirus is unleashed, and now it's a respiratory virus. It's absolutely stunning. But now they are admitting it. They're like, oh yeah, you know, we could have, maybe we did. Maybe we did patent this sequence. Russia invokes Trump's stolen election claim in UN speech. That is important because one of the main line of justifications for the Russian regime to be justifying this war is to say, you know, Ukraine's government is not legitimate. They took power by force, faked election, that kind of stuff. Now they're saying this about the US. They're saying, they said they called into question the actions of other countries, including the United States overthrowing a former president, Donald Trump. So they're calling it an overthrow. He says that the United States, which supported the resolution, was where the legitimately elected president of the country was overthrown. Now, this is Russia saying, in the same way we have justified an attack on Ukraine, we could very well justify an attack on the US, because the US is currently led by a revolutionary force. My God, this is another level. This is getting, this is like one step away from a strike onto the US. Ariel Suarez says, do you think, he sends a super chat, thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, do you think pursuing/engaging in non-reproductive sex, i.e. homosexuality, could become a slippery slope into other non-reproductive sexual behavior, often labeled as deviant? I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a complex question. I think that the person who has homosexual interest in and of themselves, there's no reason for these interests to spill over into other things. But the openness, the more you are taking an open approach with sexual behavior, the more you are abolishing your kind of cultural filter to say there are certain things that are just bad, the more you're allowing a larger portion of diversity, of sexual diversity in one's sexual preference. So it's perhaps, I wouldn't say that the homosexual would be more likely to be led toward other behavior per se, but I would say that there's a cultural selective force that may happen in societies that as they become increasingly opened, that would open the door to things that other societies would totally keep shut. So it's a tough question, but I get what you mean. It's not a question that we can discuss in full, because a lot of claims in this domain are unsupported. A lot are unlegitimately attacked also. But it's a tough question. I don't have much data to answer your question. Stephen Robinson says, hey, JF, how will the regime frame virgins coming down with AIDS as a result of the vaccine? There's no evidence that the vaccine gives AIDS, and so I don't expect that we will see massive amounts of virgins showing up with AIDS. Now, there was one version of the vaccine in Australia early in the pandemic that was leading to AIDS positive test, to HIV positivity test. And it's because the vaccine was using a piece of HIV to make its function. I don't see any reason why you would have a fully functional AIDS virus appearing inside of you just because of the vaccine. Even if I'm critical of the vaccine, that is just too much. I was explaining to Mama JF, because she turned out she was asking me the same question yesterday. And I was explaining, you know, creating a genetic modification or a functional virus out of nothing, this can't happen by accident. You have to be very intentional about it, because even if you had a piece of AIDS in the vaccine, this piece is not reproductive. It's not been designed to be a life form. It has not evolved to reproduce. It would just be lost inside of you and completely dysfunctional. Dead Ribbits says, JF, should we genetically engineer cat girls? Please explain why the answer is yes. Cat girls, I'm not sure I fully understand that meme. My understanding is that there is a youth, male youth, watching Twitch TV kind of streams where girls are imitating certain movements of the cat and sometimes are dressed in a way that suggests their cat girl status, including the licking of the paw. And there is something that they do where they bite their own tongue just to highlight the fact that their tongue is getting out of their mouth, like, and they show their boobs in the process. That's what I understand from cat girls. And no, we should not genetically engineer them. The Bias News says NRA cannot be dissolved by the New York Attorney General, Judge Ruse. That's an important finding, because they were pursuing this NRA, like, it's a leftist Attorney General that is trying to get the NRA to close on some basis that they would be in bankruptcy, but it's kind of a special proceeding that's essentially ideologically targeted at the NRA. A judge says, no, you can't do this. You cannot dissolve another another entity, a corporation, you cannot decide that you close them. It's totally against the law. And finally, before we close the show, thank you all so much for joining me tonight. New footage has emerged from the 9/11 plane attacks on the World Trade Center. You know, sometimes people keep these reels, these tapes, these hard drives somewhere where they stash old footage. Well, a never-before-seen angle on the strike of the second tower has been released. Apparently, I think it is this. So it's interesting to get a new angle, of course, dramatic events that have happened in 2001. 20 years later, more than 20 years later, we now have a video of it from another angle. I'm going live on Koto Gottfried in 20 minutes, so I'll be closing the show. Thank you so much for being with me, and join me on Koto Gottfried if you want the link. Join my Telegram, join my Gab. I will be posting the link there, and join us on the Discord too if you'd like to speak with the community. Did you like the State of the Union address? 7 people say no, 5 people say I didn't watch it, and 1 person says yes. See you on Koto. Thank you.